Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
Or if the U.S. intervenes in his nation's six-day conflict with Israel. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says President Trump's met with top advisors.
The president's main focus in that meeting, whether the U.S. should join Israel in striking Iranian nuclear sites, according to multiple sources. Doing so would appear to go against Trump's longstanding vow not to engage the U.S. in new foreign wars.
Record heat in the forecast for the Northeast. CBS's Rob Marciano.
I-95 on Sunday into the 80s. And into next week, we're looking at temperatures that will get into the 90s and maybe 100 degrees. For a good chunk of the East Coast.
New report says countries are making progress on sustainable energy. The World Economic Forum's Espen Melum.
Most of the energy investments and the clean energy investments globally are going to advanced economies and to China. Only about 15% are going to emerging and developing countries.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. A Milwaukee educator's immigration fight ended yesterday. Yesenia Ruano left the U.S. on her own accord with her twin daughters. Ruano was a teacher's aide who escaped human trafficking. She was denied permission to stay in the country as her T visa application was pending. Her attorney says Ruano, who had no criminal record, chose to self-deport rather than wait for possible arrest. A new effort for affordable housing is underway in Milwaukee's King Park neighborhood. County Executive David Crawley joined community leaders yesterday in celebrating the ribbon cutting of the first new home built as part of the $6 million investment in affordable housing. The project, using state ARPA funds, aims to create 120 homes to support families in the historically underserved area. State Superintendent Jill Underley is condemning the budget plan Republicans passed last week. Savannah Tolney Olson has more.
Their proposal increases some funding for special education, but not to the level Governor Tony Evers and families were pushing for. However, it does not increase general aid for Wisconsin schools at all. Underley says the budget motion fails the state's students, educators, and public schools, arguing that it raises property taxes, cuts youth mental health funding, and doesn't support students with disabilities. Superintendents and school board members across the state say a lack of adequate funding increases from state lawmakers is forcing their hand, and they have no other choice but to ask their residents to pay more taxes just to keep the lights on and staff paid at school.
The Bucks are ready for an assist with your next job. There's a career fair at the Fiserv Forum on Monday offering part-time, year-round jobs in retail, security, and guest services. It'll be in the atrium at the Fiserv starting at 4 on Monday. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles.
The Brewers battle the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers take on the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, making his second career start for Milwaukee. The Brewers won for 10 last night with runners in scoring position on the way to a 5-3 loss to the Cubs. Pat Murphy.
You look at the box scores tonight. If you look at 15 box scores, there's going to be six teams that are something like that. You got to hit with guys in scoring position, and we didn't.
The Cubs now with a 6.5 game lead over Milwaukee in the NL Central. Hi. Hockey, the Florida Panthers skating past the Edmonton Oilers 5-1 to win the Stanley Cup for a second year in a row, 4-2. NFL, the Packers' new president and CEO says there's no immediate plans to renew the contracts of Matt LaFleur or GM Brian Gutekunst. I asked Ed Policy what will be his focus as he takes over.
Keep the Packers in Green Bay. The big things there will be continuing to maintain and evolve Lambeau Field so that it remains not just iconic but also state-of-the-art.
That's the new Packers president, Ed Policy, with sports. On Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for today with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible and a high in the upper 60s. For tonight, more showers and storms around, a low near 60. And a slight storm chance for tomorrow, a little warmer, highs mid-70s. It's 67 right now.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, June 18th. I'm up here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. We will be joined shortly by Earl Ingram, and then later Melissa Baldoff. James Kelly will give us an update from our Chippewa Falls newsroom as well. But first, here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us that there's some rain going on out there. And then there's going to be some more rain, and then there's going to be some heat. Some high heat.
You really simplify it, Pat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's basically what's going to happen.
It's wet and then it's hot. Thankfully, I don't have to give you the specifics. Brittany tracks all of those things. So here's where she says it's going to go.
Here we go. It's summer, right? Well, right. Not officially yet. Meteorologically, it is. But the first day of summer is just 2 days away, and we are definitely going to be feeling it. So here's what we've got going on this morning. It's upper 50s temperature-wise up north. We've got some sunshine. Lucky you. Down south, not the same. It is cloudy, overcast, low 70s, so a little bit warmer, and we've got some rain moving in. Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, you're about to get some. Also, more is moving into western parts of the state. South, a lot of southern parts of the state are going to get hit with some soaking rain today. We could see some thunderstorms embedded in there, too. And far southeast, you could see some potentially flash flooding events going on because you could get 1 inch to 2 inches of rainfall total throughout today. So areas down south, it's going to be a soaker. Up north, a little bit less of that. We will get cloudy and we will see chances for showers and storms, especially this afternoon and evening, but none of them are really looking strong or severe. So as we go through tomorrow, we are going to start to heat things up a little bit more. Upper 70s to low 80s. Showers and storms are expected again in the afternoon, and then another round at night, which could be strong to severe. And then, of course, more on Friday as a warm front lifts through. Those have the potential to be strong to severe once again. And then we're going to be in the sauna. That's what I'm calling it, because dew points are going to be in the mid-70s, which is pretty oppressive. That is very muggy, hot, and humid conditions. Paired with temperatures in the 90s, our heat index is going to feel like 100 degrees on both Saturday and Sunday. So start hydrating right now.
So we've got grandkids coming to visit, the younger ones this weekend, 3 and 6 years old. And so at first we thought, well, okay, pontoon ride, that's going to be a must. But then we thought a little bit more about the forecast and decided that we got to head to the garage today. We got to dig out all those sprinkler toys.
There's a little
kid slip and slide, and of course all the little the little water guns and things like that. So if anybody's interested, Kreitlow backyard, we'll have all the water toys out this weekend.
That is the best way to stay cool and have some smiles too. How adorable. I love it.
You know, when you mentioned the first day of summer, it gives me that every season changes, I get this whole thing about the earth, being on its axis the way that it is. And that's why, you have, like up at the North Pole, you're going to have 6 months of daylight, as opposed to 6 months in the wintertime of complete and total darkness. And it's still, I know this goes way beyond the weather, But why are we tilted the way that we are? It's 23.5 degrees, because I looked it up, because that's what nerds do. But why? Why is it tilted that much, which gives us seasons and all those other good things? But, you know, there's speculation that maybe a long time ago, you know, there was a collision somewhere, you know, out there that knocked us off our axis a little bit. But
it sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the kind of thing, you know, as some other planet went, oop, I'm just going to slide by you right there. Don't worry about me.
And they said, oop. Yep.
Yeah, they said, oop. That's exactly what happened. Of course. Yep. And so it's just that's just my every 3 month appreciation for having seasons, because trust me, there's a lot to be said for living in the Caribbean. And don't get me wrong, there was a lot of good stuff about it. But when you leave and then come back, you realize how much you missed actual seasons.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I'm a big fan of that. So sometimes you look at things with new eyes. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You're welcome. You too.
And there's my transition to looking at things with new eyes. And that would be bringing in Earl Ingram here to be talking about things that he covers in Milwaukee for Civic Media. There he is, the pride of Washington High School. Earl, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being here. When I say looking at things with new eyes, what I mean about Milwaukee is this. Sherry and I lived there from 1987 to 1991 while she was attending the medical college. And both our daughters were born at the old St. Luke's Hospital down there in Milwaukee. And as you know, with any major American city, it goes through its cycles. And the cycle in the late 80s, early 90s was not necessarily kind to Milwaukee. And I go back there now and look at it with a new set of eyes. And I fall in love with it all over again each time going down there at the improvements that are being made. Obviously, it is far from perfect. There's always work to be done. But the fact that there are people willing to do that work, and it leads us into one of the stories we wanted to share this morning, and that's the Milwaukee skyline, which back in 1987 was one building, you know, the old U.S. Bank building and whatever it's called now. That skyline looks a lot different after all these years, and there are folks around the country that have taken notice.
Well, actually, I'd say folks around the world.
Yeah.
Architectural Digest has rated Milwaukee skyline as one of the top 17 in the world. And that's an amazing accomplishment for the city of Milwaukee, considering it's in competition here in the United States. When you think about skylines, you think about New York City, Chicago, Seattle, you know, and those types of cities. And then you also think globally, you think about, Hong Kong, Dubai, Tokyo, Shanghai, Toronto, those are all spectacular skylines, and now Milwaukee is listed as one of those top 17. And so for people who live in this state who have not visited Milwaukee, they have no concept, no clue whatsoever about the beauty that is downtown Milwaukee and the skyline that continues to evolve.
Well, and again, it does so in a way that when you go, well, wait, it's one of those smaller cities. Well, yeah, what you don't have there is you don't have the clutter. You have the diversity of the designs, which means the diversity of the usage that's in there. And again, it really reflects improvements that have been made in the city over time. And I mean, those improvements are, you know, continuing to this day. I mean, you've got something that's going up there. What's it going to be called? The largest ever timber constructed building, something like that.
It's called the Edison. It's mass timber, an engineered product created by combining layers of lumber into strong material touted for its environmental benefits and aesthetic appeal. Milwaukee had the largest building of that nature, and they held that for a few years, and then in Australia, okay, they eclipsed that tower that Milwaukee has had the honor of having the largest building, and we now turn around and we're eclipsing the one that they have in Australia. But beautiful, beautiful architecture, beautiful, beautiful building. And so again, if you people haven't been downtown Milwaukee, the aesthetics of it during the summer, we're about to kick off Summerfest on tomorrow. And if you haven't been to the Summerfest grounds and that lake that's been developed to some degree, spectacular.
The building itself, that as Earl mentioned, is called the Edison, and it is going to be 32 stories tall, 378 apartment units there. And again, most of the materials will be coming from U.S. supplies, but not all of them by any stretch of the imagination. And I do recall seeing a story sometime back that, you know, Donald Trump's tariffs are going to cause some issues with construction here. Because, again, we get a lot of timber, say, from Canada, for example, one of our best allies. But Donald Trump is picking a fight with all of our allies here. And I can't even tell you for sure, Earl, if these tariffs on timber are going to affect the building of the Edison Tower. I don't know if they know, because with Trump, you get something one day and then you hear something else the other day, which, again, if you're building one of the largest ever, you know, mass timber buildings, that's got to be a little perplexing.
Well, I'm pretty sure that it probably is, because I don't know if that timber is produced here in this country. And so their plans for erecting this building had been in the making for somewhere around 3 to 5 years. And now they broke ground just the other day. And so, you know, we'll see. But after it's all said and done, it's going to be another beautiful, beautiful addition to what is absolutely a beautiful, beautiful downtown Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was looking at, I did just find an article from Tom Dakin in the Journal Sentinel about the imported materials that are there. And some of those imported materials are not going to arrive until spring of next year. And so apparently it's noted in the article here that creates a lot of uncertainty regarding how trade negotiations are going to ebb and flow over the next year or so here. But when all is said and done, because this mass timber type of construction is more environmentally sustainable, it is closer to carbon neutral, it's going to reduce construction costs. And again, it just comes back to the smart kind of construction that's going on in Milwaukee and some of these other cities. Because, I mean, you know, Earl, anybody can slap something together, but when you actually put some thought into the process, you end up having a downtown that is much more, you know, workable as a result, and where people actually still want to work and play. And the funny thing is, for all the grousing you hear from some of our suburban friends out there, they still need a place like Milwaukee to come work and play.
Well, absolutely. And that will be forthcoming in the next month or so with all the different festivals and all the different activities that take place in downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, they sure will. Not the least of them being the Brewers taking on the Cubs. Now, they're doing that at Wrigley right now, but, you know, that Central Division showdown, you know, will be coming back here to Milwaukee before you know it. The Cardinals were just here in town last week. The Brewers, unfortunately, are on the losing end of yesterday's opener of that series with the Cubs. I believe the final score was 5-3 here. There was this two-run home run by Isaac Collins at one point. And unfortunately, Chad Patrick, the starting pitcher, just couldn't hold back a fifth inning rally. So the Cubs go on to win by a score of 5-3. The Cubs are now up in the division, 6.5 games over the second place Brewers. They'll go back tonight to Wrigley Field and try to even out the series. The pregame will be starting at 6:30 on several Civic media stations. Jacob Mizorowski will be pitching in his second ever major league game. And that's good news because, I mean, the kid had a no-hitter through 5 innings, but then was feeling some cramps and some soreness and left the game. I was fearing the worst, but apparently, you know, things are okay, that he's getting set to get started against the Cubs here again tonight. So you can hear that on several Civic media stations. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For those of you hanging here, we're going to continue our conversation with Earl Ingram. I think we'll get into a little Summerfest chatter coming up. And when we're all back together in our next half hour, we'll be talking to Melissa Baldoff. That's all here from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Summerfest brings the biggest names in live music to Milwaukee's lakefront across three unforgettable weekends, including performances from James Taylor, Chicago, Devo, plus Richard Marx, Rick Springfield, George Thorogood, Sebastian Bach, and more. Don't miss Milwaukee's Summerfest, presented by American Family Insurance on June 19th through 21st, June 26th through 28th, and July 3rd through 5th. Get tickets now at summerfest.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back. And here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. It's absolutely a no-brainer that if we're talking about politics, we're going to talk about political rhetoric. And there's no denying that the conversations or arguments have gotten more contentious, more fierce, and more heated over the past few years. And it always seems like all sides are pointing fingers at each other. But you have to ask yourself, what responsibility do I or the group I belong to bear in this matter? Maggie Dawn, along with Matt Rothschild, went over this very important topic, but also heard from you, the listener. You can always get in touch with us every day on our shows.
What do you think? Do Democrats bear equal responsibility for ratcheting up the rhetoric to get us to this place of again, extremist political dialogue where someone like Mr. Belter takes a gun in his own hands and decides to confront the opposition, not with words or votes, but with violence. Matt, I wanted to first get your reactions to the question posed by Jordana, which is, do we look at Democrats and say, you're just as responsible, or maybe 10%? Like, can you apportion responsibility for where we are in this rhetorical moment?
No, I don't think we're all equally to blame. So I tried to figure out what she was trying to say there. I think I agree with it. It'd be good if we, you know, had civic and civil dialogue. That's what we're about here at Civic Media, and that's important. But that doesn't mean we should ignore what we're facing here with the Trump administration, which is what the point you were getting to right at the end, because we are looking at an administration, and I never used the F word until Donald Trump came along in public, but he has these fascist elements to him. That's the nearest thing in history that we have to compare Donald Trump with. So I don't think saying that or things like authoritarianism and applying those to the Trump administration are leading people to pick up guns and shooting people. I reject that. And I've been spending a lot of time listening to scholars of fascism and authoritarianism, Timothy Snyder, Ruth Ben-Ghiat, I was listening to today.
She literally wrote the book on the historical patterns to fascism and authoritarianism.
Right, the book's called Strong Men, and it's haunting.
Yes.
I have it on my shelf. And I did look at this article in The Atlantic today by Brian Klass, who's also an academic, and he said this: the difference is that only one party is led by someone who uses his megaphone to routinely normalize and absolve acts of political violence. And it's interesting that Trump today or yesterday was tweeting about radical left Democrats who are sick of mind and hate our country and actually want to destroy our inner cities. This is a direct quote from the president of the United States this weekend or today. And so he is demonizing, really demonizing Democrats. And it's appalling that he's doing it the day after the speaker in Minnesota was shot dead.
He's also repeatedly called Democrats of all varieties, both centrists, both those that are center right and far left progressives, evil. He's used that specifically and personally. To me, there is a vast difference between calling what someone does evil and actually assigning that characteristic, attributing to them as their whole personage. We want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. Lots of reactions. Cam from Appleton on the text line saying calling something what it is just plainly is not the wrong thing to do. It is wrong to say that Democrats bear responsibility here. Al from Brown County, this is not true. This is not both sides. You can't both sides this. Annie from Watertown on the text lines. What are we talking about? It is Gestapo acts, Annie says. It is brown shirts. We are not all complicit in this. Annie is livid. Donna from DeForest saying, Jordana's saying that Waltz was wrong in describing Donald Trump's tactics as being hate mongers, as being unconstitutional policy is infuriating. I cannot listen to both sides baloney. That's virtue signaling BS. Donald also asking for some clarity on the fact that many on the right are claiming that the shooter was somehow like friendly with the governor, had some relationship with the governor. There is absolutely no indication of that. The governor appointed him to a nonpartisan workforce development commissioner. The shooter did at some point own two businesses, as is, and perhaps we can ask our colleagues from Minnesota to confirm this, but as I understand this and from the reporting that I've read over the weekend, it is very traditional for a governor in Minnesota to seek out people from the opposing party for these sorts of appointments to things that are, again, explicitly supposed to be nonpartisan or bipartisan, like this Workforce Development Board. His tenure on that board ended at least 2 years ago by the reporting I read. There's no personal relationship between the governor and the shooter, just to dispel that bit of misinformation that has been floating out there. Robert from West Allis is also pretty ticked off, saying Fox News broadcasting lies and garbage during and after COVID and the big lie, they're responsible for leading to these deaths. Again, Derek Van Orten basically doubling down on all of that vitriol and hate, posting on X over the weekend. A whole pack of election deniers got together and spewed hate. One of them decided to murder and attempt to murder some politicians that were not far left enough for them. Tim Walz is stupid and a clown. That simply all of the predicate for that from Congressman Van Orten is false. It is not accurate. We need to be clear about that.
As you know, you can listen to the entire interview by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Search for The Maggie Dawn Show, and you'll find an archive of all of our episodes going back many, many months. So go to civicmedia.us and catch up on the episodes today. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. If you want to find out more about WAUK, go to our website, waukradio.com. You can find out more news that's happening in our area. You can also sign up for our newsletter. Once again, that is waukradio.com. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll see you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Milwaukee County is celebrating a milestone moment for affordable housing. There was a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday at a house in the King Park neighborhood. County officials and developers marked the completion of the first home in a major affordable housing initiative, funded by $6 million in state ARPA funds. The homes will be rented for 15 years before offering a pathway to home ownership. The program also includes financial counseling for future buyers. During the event yesterday, officials said the investment will help strengthen the community for years to come. Starting soon, the wheels on the bus won't go as far. Beginning at the end of August, Milwaukee County bus riders will see a reduction, with MCTS cutting service to close an almost $11 million deficit. The changes will affect non-peak weekday routes and Saturday schedules, though no routes will be cut entirely. MCTS officials say the new schedules will be released soon and that they're working to minimize the impact on daily commuters. This payout is expected to trickle down to cities, counties, and other municipalities. Joanne Krulatz has more.
A nationwide opioid settlement is moving forward. Attorneys general from all 54 U.S. states and territories have reached a sweeping multi-billion dollar settlement with Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family over marketing and distribution of opioids. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced Monday. The $7.4 billion agreement with the makers of OxyContin has not been finalized. And Call said the next step in the process is that local governments will be asked to join the settlement contingent on bankruptcy court proceedings. Under this settlement, Wisconsin state and local governments would receive as much as $80 million over the next 15 years.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Carrie Bradshaw, a.k.a. Sarah Jessica Parker, recently spoke to Huffington Post UK. During the interview, she talked about the backlash she received for playing Bradshaw on HBO's Sex and the City. Parker discussed the double standard between men and women and how women are treated differently when they're portrayed as cheaters on TV. Parker made a point to say that her character on And Just Like That is judged similarly decades later. New episodes of And Just Like That premiere Thursdays on Max. For those of you who are like me and live in a remote area, there is good news regarding a new comedy to check out. Friendship is now available to stream, according to the New York Post. The A24 cringe comedy that asks the question, should men have friends, stars Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd and had a modest but successful limited theatrical run. Friendship is available to stream on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for today with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible and a high in the upper 60s. For tonight, more showers and storms around, a low near 60. And a slight storm chance for tomorrow, a little warmer, highs mid-70s. It's 67 right now.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Who wins in war? Billionaires do. We discuss one such billionaire's efforts to buy Wisconsin elections and the lawsuit to stop them with Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson of Law Forward.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
In today's edition of our daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a story on the Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research as part of our June Dairy Month coverage. All kinds of ways that scientists look at having an impact on the quality, the texture, the flavor of cheese, a cheese's shelf life, marketability, and more. So learn about that. Learn specifically about Colby cheese, part of one of the many that were invented right here in Wisconsin. Also an article about Door County fish boils. We're getting to that season as well. And then up on our website, several stories that you should be checking out as well, including 9 Wisconsin businesses staffed by people living with disabilities, and a recap of some of the best fly fishing spots in Wisconsin. All of that and more on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Remember, if you can't listen to us live, you can pod this program. Listen to us anytime on demand. Head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Time for our climate check with political strategist Melissa Baldoff, who also had a busy weekend at the state Democratic convention, where her hubs Joe Zepecki will join us tomorrow and talk about the campaign for state party chair. As usual, everybody puts on a unified face for Devin Remeker, but Joe could not have been more gracious in thanking Devin and William Garcia. And Melissa, I think you'd probably add a special thank you to all the folks who helped back Joe during his campaign. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And yes, thank you so much to everybody who, supported Joe, of course, but also just everybody who was able to show up and attend the convention. It was a really lovely weekend. And it was, a fun and different experience for me, having been to so many of these as somebody who was a staff person for WISDEMS and helping to put on the convention for a number of years, and then, attending them, with various, bosses or, mm-hmm. candidates, clients over the years. And so this was, my first one just kind of going to, but not really just going to, because I was there with my husband running for party office. So it was a little bit different experience all around, but still a good one.
Yeah, very much so. And I had forgotten, and I've done this a couple of times now, showing my age, but the convention moved to a Saturday, Sunday format recently. Well, I don't know how recently, but I was used to it being a Friday, Saturday thing. And I will take note that former state party chair Mike Tate had a post the other day about that, this was an interesting experiment, but maybe we should revisit the Friday-Saturday format. I'm not going to say one is right or wrong. I don't know if it's preference or logistics or whatever you want to call it. But if it was up to me, I'd still make it more of a Friday-Saturday thing. I don't know if you notice any difference in terms of turnout and, who's
significant,
able to make it.
Significant turnout. Difference. There were, less than 1,000 votes cast for party chair at this convention. And the last time, 10 years ago, the last time there was a very hotly contested party chairs race, you know, there were like 1,300 or 1,400 mm-hmm. votes cast. So it was a significant drop off. And there was also a big drop off in the number of delegates that, you know, registered versus who voted. So, you know, I agree with Mike Tate that it's, you know, an opportunity to look at, you know, did the old format work better? I know that part of the reason people in the first place wanted to switch to Saturday and Sunday was just concerns maybe about, is that easier for people, you know, than trying to take Friday off of work? But, you know, I think that there's, you know, good points on both sides. Like you said, it's something to look at. I would also say it's something to look at if there are virtual options for attendance, if there are ways that people can, you know, maybe vote for a party chair, you know, at their, you know, congressional level caucus. You know, so, you know, I just think there's a lot we can talk about as a party to be more inclusive, to make this more accessible, because, you know, going away for a weekend in the Dells over Father's Day weekend is not cheap. And, you know, we want to bring in more people. And, you know, if you can't afford to go stay at a resort or a hotel nearby for the weekend, you know, you're priced out of going. If you're maybe somebody who doesn't work, you know, Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job, and you have to work on the weekends, then you're not able to go. If you're a single parent who doesn't have anyone to watch your kids so you can go, you know, those are all things that make it, you know, put up a barrier to people being able to participate in the process. And as Democrats, you know, we believe in making our party more accessible to everybody. And, you know, if we want to bring in more people and get them as a part of the process, I think it's, you know, it's worth conversations.
From Ardith on Facebook, I was sorry to see Jill come up short, but I hope you two will continue to be very visible because I think you are the future of Wisconsin fair and honest government. That was nice of you, Ardith. Thank you for
putting that up. Well, that was very kind to hear. Thank you so much, Ardith.
And not everybody from the family could be a part of the convention because there was split allegiances. There were people that had to get over to Polish Fest, but for good reason, I hear.
Yes, absolutely. So usually our family is at Polish Fest, and usually quite a number of Joe's family is working at Polish Fest. And this year we have royalty in the family. I am so proud of our niece Everett, who is a Little Miss Polish Fest princess. We were so sad that we were not able to be there in person to cheer her on in her pursuit of the crown. But other family was there to be, you know, to support her, cheer her on. We got to see video and are so proud of her and her sister Micah, who was also a runner up in her age group. So we're very proud of our little Polish princesses and look forward to, you know, celebrating Everett's reign alongside her and being at other festivals with the family over the summer.
That is just wonderful. And I do believe German Fest is another big one that you and Joe like to attend.
Absolutely. So anyone who wants to see Joe again, who likes what they've heard and seen from Joe Zepecki, can come find him at German Fest, where he will be, you know, grilling brats.
Yes, again, July 25th, 26th, 27th. So be on the lookout for that. We were talking with Earl Ingram in our last segment about all Summerfest and all the other festivals all summer long in the Milwaukee area. You really do want to check it out. Let's turn our attention to what's happening in politics. And this one's a little unusual because, I mean, obviously in these climate check segments, we do want to talk about the virtues of things like the Inflation Reduction Act and the tax credits that are going to create a whole new generation of clean energy jobs. So I'm not diminishing those in any way, shape, or form. When I set it up this way, Melissa, to say the House Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill took out a lot of those credits. And also, of course, would do tremendous damage to Medicaid and all these other essential services. Now the bill's over in the Senate, and Senate Republicans there are not at all chagrined about what they're hearing about cuts to Medicaid and other vital programs. In fact, they added more cuts onto Medicaid and things like that. But they did salvage in their bill some of the green energy tax credits, which really tells you something about their priorities. I mean, yes, it's good for the climate. It's good for all that. But, I mean, they actually made deeper cuts to Medicaid so that they could preserve some of these clean energy tax credits. It just says something about priorities these days. But I guess we'll take out the good news, take away the good news from it, that these tax credits have some life support again to create new jobs in Wisconsin and elsewhere.
Yes. But I don't want to give them too much credit here, because right. I don't want to say this is good news. I'm going to just say this is slightly worse news.
Yes.
Slightly less worse news. Excuse me. Yeah, slightly less worse news. So they did make some improvements to the House version, but they are still making very significant cuts to solar, wind, and other incentives here. So I would say this is definitely falling short of being supportive of clean energy tax credits. But, you know, there are still some Republicans, Senate Republicans talking about it. And there's still a little bit of time for some movement. And that's why we need people to keep talking to their senators and their members of Congress, because there is still opportunity to make changes here, which I think is the biggest takeaway people should have, that their voices and their advocacy have made a difference so far and can continue to do so. We've got some time. I mean, things are moving. There's that self-imposed July 4th deadline, but there is not a whole lot of room left between now and then for Republicans to meet that deadline. It's, you know, looking more and more likely that they won't make it. So either way, though, the urgency is real, that we need folks reaching out and talking about this and talking about this publicly. What we're seeing from the Senate version is that they still would be phasing out these tax credits. You know, they would just do it a little bit more slowly.
Right.
Which is slightly good news.
Slightly less worse.
But, it really does fall short of, you know, giving people the ability to, take advantage of these credits and improve their resilience, save money, and, you know, boost our economy.
And by the way, just to show that they are still almost entirely in lockstep with Trump's priorities, the EV incentives that are meant to move the U.S. away from fossil fuels, those would be gutted even more rapidly under the Senate bill. So, you know, it is really a case of self-interest, where they see something that we've talked about in this segment before, that a lot of the clean energy jobs being created thanks to these tax credits and the Inflation Reduction Act are actually happening in red states and in red districts at a far greater rate than in districts and states that have Democratic elected officials. And so they're seeing the thing that is, you know, most narrowly in their self-interest and saying, oh, well, we're good with those after all, I guess. But I mean, that's the only reason. It has nothing. There's nothing altruistic about this whatsoever.
No, of course not. There's nothing here that's, you know, doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. The motivation to do the right thing would be to, you know, absolutely protect themselves and their interests. But if we can get something positive out of that, that selfishness, I'll take it. Right. If the outcome is that we get the right policy, whatever the motivation is, I'll take it, but yeah. It's not the ideal way to get this done.
No, our theme today, less worse. That's right. Sometimes you take what you can get. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much. And we will talk again real soon.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much. Coming up, a local update is next for some of you, followed by Matt and Air on Air with Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining in at about 9:30. For those of you hanging here, we will wrap up the program with some Western and Northern Wisconsin news headlines with James Kelly right here in Chippewa Falls. And tomorrow, Todd Alba, Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley, Joe Zepecki. Remember, you can follow me over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometown.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels? Or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma.
If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. It's Greg Bach again, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. I'm going to let you in on a little secret about me. I am the son of an Air Force veteran, and I am very proud of my father's service to this country, as I am all of my family members who have served in the military. This past weekend, there was a parade being held for the 250th anniversary of the Army. At least that's what we were told it was about. On yesterday's episode of Matt and Air on Air, Jane and I sat down with retired Major General Randy Manor. He has served in the Army for over 35 years, and he is a friend of the show. He wanted to talk to us about the parade's impact not only on those who serve and their schedules, but also the matter of the cost of it, and that comes down to you and I, the taxpayer. But first, he starts with a word of respect to those who marched on Saturday.
Okay, so first of all, I need to thank all the members, past and present, of the U.S. Army for celebrating 250 years of service to our nation. It is absolutely amazing that we have been able to sustain a heritage of service to our citizens and defending our country. And so my sincere thanks go out to every single soldier, past and present. And my thanks to all the soldiers that were in that parade. I need to tell all of you, the soldiers hate parades.
I bet.
I hate parades. When I was a lieutenant in the 82nd Airborne, which many of those soldiers were from, we did a probably, I think there were about 10 to 14,000 member pass and review, which is a huge monster parade. And it was very old school. And we practiced for days and days and days. And then uniforms had to be perfect. And, you know, it's not what we do. And we all hated it. And it was horrible. So my heart goes out to all those soldiers that did it. And good for you for following your orders and for doing it. And I'm proud of you for doing that. At the same time, we hate parades. I've celebrated birthdays for the Army in combat zones. I've done it in the Pentagon. I've done it at Fort Bragg. I've done it literally all around the world. And our the Army concept of a celebration of our birthday is we have a birthday cake, number one, or many, depending on the number of troops.
Sure.
We invite up the oldest member of the group, the youngest member. They cut the cake, not the colonel or the general or the sergeant major. They cut the cake. We have brief, and I mean 3 or 4 minute speeches by a few people, the senior enlisted leader. We ask the junior person to speak. And we have cake, and we have like an hour break in the day, and we celebrate us, and we celebrate us.
Yeah.
And we tell stories. And it's very low key, but yet everyone appreciates the cake, you know. Unfortunately, that's not what happened here on Saturday.
What I'm hearing from you, sir, is you take an hour out of your day to celebrate the culture of the military and what you have done, because more than that, honestly, is a diversion of time, manpower, resources, and you got to get back to work and do the thing. Whereas this parade, and I share your feelings about this as far as them coming here to Washington and doing what they were told to do to celebrate. I get that. But that is a massive diversion of resources, time, manpower, projects that are not getting done, work that's not being done, all to the tune of tens of millions of dollars, when you said perfectly, they don't want to be there.
Right. And Jane, answering your question specifically is that in contrast to the Russian parades, the North Korean parades, where you see everybody literally marching perfectly.
Yes.
Well, those are typically because they spend literally, we're talking hundreds, not tens, but hundreds and hundreds of hours practice. Well, what are they doing? They're practicing marching.
Yeah.
Now, in the United States military, thank goodness those days that I was involved with as a lieutenant many decades ago are long gone. We don't march. The only people who train how to march are ceremonial units,
right,
like the 3rd Infantry Regiment out of Fort Myer for funerals and for state events. They've got to look sharp. Their uniforms have got to be super straight. And it's like, that's an honor for them to do what they do to represent the military with foreign dignitaries and for burials and so on. The average soldier, including me, we barely go left, right, left, right. So in answering your question, I don't think it was a deliberate act to say they were basically protesting silently. I don't think so. I really don't. That's too many people. It's unlikely. I think it's because we don't practice that.
Well, and I think you make an excellent, excellent point. Good heavens, they are trained to go to war. They are not trained to march in formation. They are not trained to look like a marching band. That's not what our troops are trained for. And it makes me think, Major General, that when we look at these troops in North Korea and Russia, you almost have to wonder if they have a unit that isn't specially devoted just to that.
Well, but remember, there are massive numbers of those soldiers that are in those parades. I mean, massive numbers. We had whatever it was, 6,000 or 7,000. They will have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 all marching with just as concise move. It is a large, very large parade. And so you probably have seen memes all over the place with, you know, Putin and the leader of North Korea laughing at our soldiers and so on, and our tanks being, instead of it being 200 tanks, there's only like 50 tanks.
Right.
Well, the point is our military trains for combat, and that is what we do. And we are excellent at it. And everybody in the world knows we're good at this. We're not trying to beat our chest. That's why we don't have parades like this.
Right.
We will see you on the battlefield. We're not going to see you on the parade. So I don't think this was a silent protest. I think it's indicative of the fact that, thank goodness, and I hope it never changes, we don't devote lots of time to practice marching.
This was a fantastic interview with retired Major General Randy Manner that you can find on civicmedia.us/shows. Go to Matt and Air on Air and you can find the interview from this week, as well as many other interviews we've conducted over the past few months. And remember, you can download shows anytime you want and listen to them whenever it's convenient for you, because we know you are busy. Also, download our programs as a podcast. Subscribe to them, and they're delivered right to your device for easy access, easy listening. So check us out on your podcast distribution center of choice. You're listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. Have a great Wednesday.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Iran's supreme leader is threatening irreparable damage if the U.S. gets involved in its six-day-old conflict with Israel. Israelis being advised to stay close to bomb shelters, schools, and non-essential businesses still closed. Tamar Weiss lives near Tel Aviv.
I wish everyone could be down here. I wish everyone would have a place that's as safe as here, because I think this is really the safest place in all of Ramat Gan, the whole city.
President Trump's made no secret of his admiration.
I have a warm spot in my heart for TikTok because I won youth by 34 points.
He's expected to extend the deadline for TikTok's Chinese owner to divest for another 3 months. Wall Street will be watching closely when the Fed meets today. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
What we're looking for from the Federal Reserve is how many interest rate cuts we're going to get this year. They're going to give updated economic projections, and just where they see inflation in the labor market going.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.